Good morning, everybody. The time now is 8:30. It's March 24th, 2021. I call the meeting of the Complaint Screening Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners to order. Ms. Michelson, could you provide the roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Gill?
Present.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Ms. Shreve?
Present.
We have quorum.
Great, thank you. On our agenda, item number three, approval of minutes. Is there a motion to approve the regular and executive session minutes from February 17th, 2021?
So moved.
Seconded.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And I'd also like to acknowledge Mr. Harris here today with us. Thank you for being with us today, representing us from the Attorney General's office.
Morning, everyone.
Item number four is case discussion. Just a little briefing before we go into the case. The Complaint Screening Committee, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 32-2081H, may dismiss complaints appearing on this agenda or refer them to the full board for consideration and action. The complaints dismissed by the committee shall not be disclosed in response to a telephone inquiry or placed on the board's website pursuant to ARS 32-2081H1, and upon the majority of a quorum, the committee may go into executive session on any items on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.03A2 to review confidential records, or A3 to review confidential legal, to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney. A person or representative of a person who has filed or received a complaint and as president at today's meeting may make a brief statement up to 5 minutes to the committee when prompted by the chair, and the committee may ask questions of that individual. Please only use initials. If you're referring to patients or children, be aware that the content of many records involved in the complaints is confidential and the content should not be disclosed in a public meeting. Be advised that the committee will go into the executive session to discuss any confidential records. Our first complaint today is 21-11. For Dr. Raffendi, am I pronouncing that correct?
Raffendati, thank you.
Raffendati, all right, yeah. Excuse me. Dr. Gill, you are the lead. Would you like to provide a brief summary?
Yes, Madam Chair. This complaint is number 21-11. First, an overview. In 2017, the complainant, MT, was convicted of possession of drug paraphernalia in Cochise County Superior Court, where he was put on supervised probation for 3 years. In July of 2019, the Cochise County Adult Protection Department referred MT for a psychological evaluation with Dr. Raffendati to determine, quote, a psychiatric ailment and his, quote, level of risk to the community, unquote. Dr. Raffendati met with MT four times for the evaluation in the Sierra Vista area. In September of 2019, Dr. Raffendati submitted a 9-page evaluation to the probation department. I'm not supposed to mention the diagnosis, but a diagnosis was rendered. The diagnosis included reference to unrealistic beliefs and reference to level of cognitive ability. Also, there were issues regarding legal circumstances relating to MT's probation. In November of 2019, MT petitioned the court for early release from probation and was granted November the 9th of 2020. In January of 2021, MT submitted a complaint against Dr. Raffendati alleging a misdiagnosis that I made reference to earlier. Now, the complaint itself from Dr. Raffendati, a statement was received by the staff January the 19th of 2021. It was reported that a letter was received from MT February the 2nd, 2021. Staff reported that the letter was, quote, difficult to follow, unquote. On May the 3rd of 2017, MT and a friend of his name was, call him FR, were pulled over for a traffic stop. MT had a beer in his hand and FF had methamphetamine on him, quote unquote. MT was owner of the vehicle and was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. MT signed a plea agreement September the 15th, 2017, with 3 years probation. FF released from jail in September the 5th of 2017, and MT at the time was subject to medical treatment. MT completed a substance abuse counseling service while on probation. He was diagnosed with holding these false beliefs, with hearing things that were not there, and taking medications. MT said that the probation report received numerous reports that he was, quote, a behavioral problem, unquote, before Dr. Raffandotti's evaluation. FF, the friend of MT, reportedly was murdered October the 12th of 2017. MT reported threatening phone calls calling FF's death regarding their drug charge that they were subject to. MT reported or felt that the Aryan Brotherhood was involved, or perhaps possibly the mafia, that was behind the threats that were due to information that his friend was giving. MT reported the threats to his probation officer and his counselor. MT told that he was, quote, hallucinating, unquote, as the phone calls weren't real or never happened. In June of 2019, MT filed a lawsuit against Cochise County Adult Probation Department for forcefully ordering numerous evaluations. MT refused to share information regarding the lawsuit and refused to be, quote, interrogated, unquote, by Dr. Raffanati. Dr. Raffanati concluded that MT was suffering from these false beliefs, subject to seeing things that were not there. MT requests that this misdiagnosis be removed from the record, that Dr. Raffandotti be investigated. MT had trouble getting a second opinion due to COVID. The licensee response, she reported no legal representation. On January the 13th of 2021, the board received Dr. Raffandotti's response in a timely manner. Dr. Raffandotti responded to MT's request for investigation into her diagnosis and treatment. Doctor admitted not fully understanding MT's complaint. Dr. Raffandotti provided information regarding her role as MT's independent evaluator. Dr. Raffandotti was contacted by the probation office for the Cochise County Adult Probation Department. Probation officer expressed concern that MT was, quote, odd and peculiar, unquote. A probation officer requested a psychological evaluation was court supported on or about August the 16th of 2019. MT signed a form agreeing to undergo a psychological evaluation with Dr. Raffandotti. Dr. Raffandotti received over 120 pages of documents from the probation office department for review. Dr. Raffandotti noted that MT filed numerous lawsuits against members of the criminal justice system, as medical providers and mental health providers and evaluators. Dr. Raffandotti said she met with MT on four separate occasions to complete a full psychological assessment to address intellectual functioning and provide an emotional assessment and a risk of reoffending assessment. Dr. Raffandati, prior to submitting a report to the probation department, reviewed MT's test results and gave MT an opportunity to review the official report. The meeting was not documented in the medical record. That concludes my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Gill. I just want to just clarify, MT, are you here today, the complainant? I do not believe he is, but I'm just want to confirm. MT, if you are, all right, not hearing from him. Dr. Raffandali, thank you for being here today. I'd like to give you a few minutes if you'd like to make any comments about the case or any, and then we may have questions for you.
It was very well stated earlier. Thank you. Is it Dr. Gill?
Yes.
Thank you. That was really a great representation of what took place. The four meetings, actually, the first one was to actually get his consent. Even though he was on probation, it's important to get the person's consent, or the assessment can be, you know, invalid. So the first, you know, when MT came the first time, it was to discuss his approval of the process. So it was surprising. That's why I couldn't understand the plaintiff's I guess complaint of the fact that he felt he was maybe coerced. I'm not sure. So I responded the best I could, man, and you gave a perfect representation of what took place. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Doctor. Committee members, do you have any questions for the doctor?
Yes, I do.
Dr. Gill.
I had a couple of concerns about the report, and I want to ask a couple of questions about it. Dr. Raffandati, is it true that you did not document your follow-up meeting with MT to explain the test results?
No, normally what I do is I meet with the person to get consent. I complete the assessment with the person. And then the final appointment is when we discuss the findings and what was going to be sent to the probation office. So he did meet with me to discuss the findings and what was going to be said to the probation department. At the time that he met with me, he concurred. So I was like a little bit, I'm not sure exactly why he was saying what he was saying, but at the final meeting, he did agree to the findings and what I was going to be sending to the probation office. I always tell my patients what the final report is going to say.
I was just wondering why you didn't document that in the record.
And if I can, I'm homesick today, but I can open up the report again on my other computer to look at the report. But usually in the front of the, on the, after the mental status exam, I pretty much talk about past history, what was going on with his life, that kind of stuff. And then the final recommendations are about, you know, what my findings were. But normally I would put down in the mental status area some of the discussions that we may have had. Is there some place in the report that talked about what was said in the office under the mental status exam section?
I think the question, ma'am, is doctor, is that there's nothing in there that discusses the date or the meeting with the client to go over the results.
Okay.
I'll
have to look at the report again. But my usual process is meeting initially, doing the assessment, and then the final meeting is discussing the findings. So I apologize if it wasn't in the report. In the report.
Even though it's not in the report, is it in your file notes?
Usually when I do this type of assessment, I keep all the paperwork, including like the initial intake notes, the follow-up when the person comes back. I kind of like chart it when they come in and come out. So in my charting, I would have put down that he came back for the finding.
We were, Ms. Michelson, we requested all the documentation, right?
Yes, and Dr. Raffandati submitted all of it at a few different points throughout this case, and I don't recall seeing that documentation.
Dr. Gill?
Well, I have another question. In the mental status, you made reference to MT having a I think you said a low average IQ based upon his grammar, language, and fund of information.
Wait, Dr. Gill, Mr. Harris, can we talk about that kind of personal stuff, or should we be in executive session for that?
We would need to go into executive session to discuss that.
Even though it's not a diagnosis, we're talking.
I'm not saying a diagnosis. I just used a noun.
I think we're using a, we're projecting what the results were as far as his mental health or IQ, and that would be considered, I think. I just want to make sure about Mr. Harris.
No, I agree. And I'd always want to err on the side of caution when doing this. If there's a way to kind of generically ask your question, if it can be meaningfully done. If not, I would ask that we do go into executive session. If you're not.
Yeah, I think I could do it.
Well, yes. I'm going to request to go into executive session to ask about diagnoses as well. So if you want to.
Okay.
All right. So
I'd make a motion to move to executive session.
Okay. I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion and a second. So what's going to happen, doctor, is you're going to see a little button that says, what's it going to say, Ms. Michelson? Help me out here.
It's going to say you are invited to join a breakout room. So Heidi is going to facilitate that right now, and it should pop up.
And then just click the break room button, and we magically join. Push the join button. The magic of Zoom, right? We all can just go from one room to another. We are back in open session. Are there additional questions? I believe, Dr. Gill, you had some.
Yeah, just one final question. On page 7 of the report, there is a small paragraph in the middle of the page that ends, psychiatric patients who present with this constellation of scores may exhibit a particular disorder. And then the same sentence is found in the next paragraph at the end. And in reviewing reports myself, when I see a repetition, what it suggests to me is that reports are not proofread, and that this strikes me as a mistake. And I'm wondering if you proofread this report carefully before you submitted it.
You're on mute. Doctor, you're on mute. You'll need to take yourself off mute. No, you're still on mute.
Sorry.
Okay, happens to all of us.
Page 7, you said? Page 7. I'm on page 7, and you said what paragraph, Dr. Gill?
It's about the middle of the page where it wait a minute.
It's the third paragraph down.
Thank you.
And then you again see the same sentence in the fourth paragraph down. It's, both of them are the ending of the paragraphs. Both sentences are the same.
Let me see. And then you said the final paragraph too?
No, the next one. The third and fourth paragraphs end with the same sentence.
Oh, I see. That was definitely missed by me. I did proofread the report. It may, in reading it, because there's a certain way I do speak, I may have just said it and thought it was something I said once and not twice.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, any other questions? All right, doctor, I got one question. Do you use a format and then just like and then fill it in? Like, so is this something that you have in a certain format and you're just updating it?
Yes, I have a certain format.
Okay. Yes. All right. If there's no further questions and I don't see any, we are going to now move into deliberations. And this is the time where the committee members talk amongst ourselves in regards to this case. Dr. Gill, you are the lead. Would you like to start the discussion?
Well, I have some concerns about the quality of the report, as I've said. I did question whether it was proofread because of repeated statements. I think Dr. Meyer's comment about the diagnosis, you know, for those that don't know, the WASI is an abbreviated IQ measure. It's not, you know, you need more support than that. And I think he further said that you need some information, maybe from the academic environment, in which is he functioning at the level, even though the WASI said he's in the borderline to low functioning area, is that enough? You need something more to support that, even though it's a provisional diagnosis. I think provisional diagnosis can be dangerous, and I don't use them myself. I was taught you either make a diagnosis or you don't, and you don't play middle ground with something that important. And so I'm not a fan of it. It's not wrong particularly, it's done all the time, but I'm just not a particular fan of it. So I'm just providing a perspective on it. I think there are some significant shortcomings in this report, and that is of concern to me.
All right, thank you, Dr. Gill. Dr. Meyer?
Yeah, I mean, I look at the intake form that Dr. Ruffandotti filled out that was part of her records, and she asked about and listed the client's GPA, which is he reported as a 3.58. Education says some college, special ed is left blank. So as Dr. Gill said, the quality of this report is concerning, and the lack of support for the diagnoses, I think, lends credence to some of the concerns for the complainant's complaint about this case. I guess I think we didn't really talk about what the primary reason for the referral or evaluation was. I don't think there was a lot of doubt about that, but to have this other diagnosis tacked on based solely on score of an abbreviated measure is not quality psychological work.
So,
I don't know that this rises to an ethical violation. So I'm kind of struggling on next steps.
I'm wondering if, because I gotta say, I truly appreciate both of your expertise in this area. And I'm wondering if it's a sense of there's a concern of a violation and that we move it forward to the board with the recommendation of continuing education credits or something in a particular area for this report writing or diagnosis or whatever you feel. I think we could move it to the board with a violation and then a recommendation of what we think. I don't know if that's doable, if that's what you guys are feeling too.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, in the past, when the committee has referred cases to the board for further review, they have occasionally recommended certain actions, such as a letter of concern and or a non-disciplinary order for education, as you mentioned.
And I guess I feel that would be appropriate if you both, Dr. Meyer, Dr. Gill, feel that would be.
I think that's quite appropriate. Again, there's many, many formats you can follow in putting a report together. I've always done summary and recommendations. It's not about telling anybody else what to do. It's about you're summarizing your results and making the reader clear about what your conclusions are. And recommendations are part of the deal. My understanding was that the diagnostic issues to be addressed, where does this individual have a psychiatric ailment and what is his risk to the community? Those were the questions to be answered. And even though there were brief references regarding test results, regarding those issues, and of course the diagnostic impressions, you didn't really have a summary statement to fully pull together the information that was gathered in the evaluation to clarify those two referral questions. And that's a concern that I have. And so I would agree with Madam Chair that and with Jennifer that, you know, and with Dr. Meyer, I don't think it rises to an ethical violation, but I think there a letter of concern and CEU units are entirely appropriate here.
So does there have to, does there have to be an ethical violation or concern?
I would suggest engaging or offering to engage a psychologist as a psychologist in activities not congruent with a psychologist's own professional training and experience. I was just thinking about the report writing, the activities being the report, or
it might be helpful to look at the APA ethical code and see if anything.
Thank you. Let me just really quick.
But Mr. Harris, do we have to identify a specific potential violation to move it to the board and make a letter of concern, issue a letter of concern and non-disciplinary CEUs?
Mr.
You're
Harris, you're on mute.
Thanks, Jennifer. Very good question, Dr. Myers. And what I actually would do is ask for Jennifer's assistance. When the committee is leaning toward possible non-disciplinary remedies, would they include a possible violation in their motion moving it forward to the board?
Sorry, I was on mute. Historically speaking, yes, the committee would cite potential violations and then also cite that recommending a letter of concern or whatever the action is. But in the past, they have included the violations.
With that said, then I would ask that you, if you do move it forward to the board, that you try to identify a violation that you think best expresses the concerns discussed this morning.
Okay. I would suggest that it's 16G, as Ms. Shreve identified, engaging or offering to engage as a psychologist in activities not congruent with the psychologist's professional education, training, and experience.
And I defined the activities as the report. You know, the report was not congruent with.
Yeah, I mean, conducting an assessment and making a diagnosis is a psychological activity. And I do see deficits in how this diagnosis was made.
So am I hearing it's a violation ARS 3220.61 16G, which is engaging and offering to engage as a psychologist in activities not congruent with the psychologist's professional education, training, and experience, and recommending to the board a letter of concern, and also that just continuing education credits just to help, you know, have some education in that area, re-education in that area be conducted.
I would suggest, Madam Chair,
yes, please.
I would suggest that we look at the ethical principle under assessment, section 9, and subsection B. Psychologists provide opinions of the characteristics of the individual only at the conducted examination, adequate to support their statements or conclusions. That seems to be in the ballpark.
Okay, so we could then, it'd be 16.
It would be 16DD.
And then DD, relating to the ethical standards, that would be then 9.1B.
Yes.
Okay. So is that someone like to make that motion?
And if I could just clarify the recommendation for the letter of concern and the order for continuing education, does the committee recommend a certain amount of hours for that? And if they could specify what particular areas.
Okay, thank you so much. I have to go. But thank you, Claudia. Bye-bye.
Somebody, please turn your phone on mute if you're not speaking. We are getting some background noise. Thank you. Dr. Meyer, Dr. Gill, I look for you for suggestions on that.
I think it needs to be on conducting psychological evaluation and diagnosis.
Is this for continuing education?
Yes.
Or is this for a course? I mean, is it continuing education you're asking?
Yeah, so in essence, just to clarify, the board would make a recommendation that this goes, that the committee make a recommendation goes to the board with a recommending continuing education credits in a certain area. Okay. And these would be beyond the continuing education credits that are required for your relicensing or renewal.
Right.
Decision hasn't been made yet. This is the recommendation.
Right.
In the next board meeting, the full board will determine if that's appropriate or not.
Right.
So there's nothing that needs to be done at this time.
Right. So this is just we're sending our recommendation to the full board, and we are part of that full board. So I'm sorry, Dr. Myers, you said, what was the training in?
Psychological evaluation and diagnosis. So I think.
And how many hours?
What's the typical range?
We'll see anywhere typically from 10 to 15 CE hours. But it can be.
I would think a total of 10 hours covering those two topics.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So if I can, then I'll make the motion. So it's the violation of 16G, yes, and also 16DD, which is a violation of ethical standards, and that was 9.01B, and that has to do with basis of assessment, and we are making a recommendation that there's just a letter of concern to the psychologist with requirement to do 10 additional continuing education credits in psychological evaluation and diagnosis. So is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
And that's not a non-disciplinary letter of concern, correct?
Correct. The letter of concern and CE order is non-disciplinary.
So it's non-disciplinary.
Both correct.
All right. Thank you for clarifying that. All right. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. So, Doctor, you'll be contacted by our board staff when this case is going to the full board, and it will go to the full board with our recommendation. And it's somewhat the same. It's the same type of format as this meeting. So, just so you have an understanding of that. All right. The next item on the agenda, I think, is to adjourn. But before I do, I'd just like to thank our staff for keeping us prepared and providing all this information to us. Really appreciate it. And Mr. Harris, thank you so much for joining us today. Truly appreciate you being here and providing us legal advice.
Thank you.
And with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Seconded.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Oh, good. Glad no one's opposing. All right. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned, and we will see you at our next meeting. Bye-bye.